I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
It's candy corn day, y'all.
There's a certain candy. We should never eat. We should never eat. It gives you diabetes because it is so stinking sweet. It's candy corn. Yes, candy corn can. Check the trick-or-treat bags and remove them if you can this Halloween.
Oh, happy candy corn day from all of us here on the Hawk and Tom Show. You know, when it comes to candy corn, I thought that it was not so popular. And, you know, for kids, they'd gladly, you know, accept an expired candy bar from 3 years ago before eating candy corn.
I don't know why people hate on candy corn so much. I like candy corn.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. I don't mind eating. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy it.
I especially like the brown and orange ones.
Oh.
I think they have like a little chocolate flavor to them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I was surprised because every year, 35 million pounds of candy corn are consumed worldwide. So that's about 9 billion pieces of candy corn. Big surprise for me because I'm not a big candy corn fan.
Now, when you say consumed, does that mean by the trash can?
No.
Or by people? How do they know?
You are a hater.
No, people talk about throwing them away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is people that have eaten them or they buy them and get tossed.
I'm convinced candy corn is the Nickelback of the candy world.
It is.
People love to hate on it for no reason.
Yeah.
It is good. It's actually, yeah. I mean, it's pretty much just eating sugar with a little bit of flavor.
And what's the hate about that?
That's pretty much what all candies are.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are different ways to eat candy corn, believe it or not. And it's not just throwing back a big handful of candy corn, you know, in your mouth and chewing on it like a, you know, a cow eating a cud, which would be kind of interesting. You would see like someone
something like that. A cow eating its cud is throwing up what was in its stomach and chewing on it.
Is that what cud is?
Yes.
Cud is vomit?
Yeah. Well, but they gnaw on it for a long time. I mean, that's what I thought most people would do. Put the candy corn in their mouth and then spit it back out because it tastes so nasty. But there are different ways to actually eat candy corn. 57% of candy corn fans eat the whole piece in one bite. So one piece at a time, throw it in there and eat it in one bite.
I like to eat each flavor separately.
Are like they flavored different?
Yeah, because it's got the white piece at the end.
I know, but that doesn't mean it's flavored different.
You don't even know anything about candy corn, man.
Fruit Loops are different colors, but they're the same flavor.
I mean, we're not talking about Fruit Loops, we're talking about candy corn.
I'm going to Google that because I don't believe it's a different.
I don't either, Cato.
It depends on how many I have left. If I've got the whole bag, then I'm just shoving them all in my mouth. But down to those last few,
you start to separate each bite.
Yeah, 28% start with the narrow white tip, Tom. So that's the very top of it. And then, of course, some people eat, I guess, are you just cutting it like in three pieces, your candy corn?
Just bite it with your mouth, man. That's what your teeth are for.
And then 15% begin with the wider yellow end when they eat their candy corn. Some people just pop it in their mouth and they let it melt in their mouth. So they have that little candy corn piece in there for a while. That sugar, you know, melts over time.
It's like dip.
A little pinch between your cheek and gum for that full candy corn flavor.
I got a real hankering for candy corn.
I don't know anyone with the patience to do that.
Mm-mm.
What?
To just let it sit there and melt.
Yeah, and the same thing with other candy. Like for a M&M's, melt in your mouth. You get a peanut M&M, you sit there, let it melt, and then eat the peanut. Who does that?
Well, peanut's kind of bland if you let it go too far.
Well,
you have to have a little chocolate.
You got to know the right timing to bite into it.
Well, and I don't think they salt those peanuts. Because have you ever cracked it open and just eaten the peanut?
No, yeah, they don't.
There's no flavor to it at all.
It's like a little bowl peanut.
It's a good idea, Tori. You should have salted M&M peanuts.
Yes.
I would buy that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the peanuts that you get in the store to the planters, like lightly salted
or
heavily salted. And then any other things, like how about Kit Kat bar? How do you eat your Kit Kat bar? Do you just bite into the Kit Kat bar, or do you break it up into four pieces?
I've done both.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you are freaky if you just bite it.
Yeah, most people break it into four pieces when they eat their Kit Kat bar.
Best way.
That's the proper way to do that.
Yeah. You're going
to
share it.
Yeah, it's the fancy way to do your Kit Kat bar. And, well, have you ever, like, sliced a Snickers bar like a cake in little bitty slices and eaten it with a fork?
No.
Oh, my.
No, but I have had to share it before because we only had one and my husband wanted some. But I was like, I'm not wasting a knife for this, so I bit it. And I didn't bite it even, so he didn't get enough.
It's fun, though, if you slice it like a little cake and just set it out there in a big fancy plate. And
I'm like, right, because that's how you spend your time with a candy bar.
Well, that's the way I did it. It's, you enjoy it longer, because if you sit there and just, you know, eat a Snickers bar in one or two bites, that's no fun.
You know, you are kind of right. It goes too fast.
Exactly.
You just eat one, and you're like, I could have about four more of those.
But the thing is, if I have a lot of chocolate, I'll eat it fast. But as you get closer to the rest, the end of the bag.
Well, that's like she said about the candy corn.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You start just wolfing them down, and then you start, like, savoring each one.
You get to the last few, and you're like, oh, no. Yeah. This is so sad.
Those last few M&Ms or Skittles that you have, it's like they're precious all of a sudden. But it is National Candy Corn Day. Nice try, candy corn, but I'm still not buying you.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm going to ask you a deep question right now. I want you to think hard about it. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
Depends on the day. I'd say 7-ish, maybe 8.
Depends on the time for me.
Okay.
Ask me this afternoon.
Okay. Does it get better or worse?
Better.
Okay. Well, they asked people about this, and a study on happiness finds that your health is related to your happiness.
I can agree.
And if you're at least a 3 or higher, you may get some benefits. But if you're below a 3, it begins to hurt your health.
I can understand. Like when you have a cold, you're kind of cranky and you're miserable and you're just not happy. You just want to be left alone. So your health is not as good in those moments?
Well, you already have bad health that's causing you to feel bad then.
What do you mean?
You just said if you have a cold.
If you have a cold, yeah.
This is saying if you're unhappy, it will make your health bad.
Oh. Yeah, I can see that too.
I feel like happiness is a little more fleeting. Happiness kind of comes and goes.
True.
Joy is more consistent. But happiness, I mean, kind of like Cato said, it depends on the time of day.
Well, I think that you can go with an overall feeling, though. Am I a happy person or not a happy person? And I think they're basically saying if you go around in a positive, happy mood, then that is good for your health. If you go around feeling miserable and unhappy, it actually brings your physical health down.
And when you hang out with someone or around someone who's like that,
it can drag you down.
They'll drag you down. It's like, my life sucks.
Now, the research actually shows loving life comes with health benefits. You are less likely to get sick if you're happy and content. And a study actually measured this. Now, what they did is they asked people to imagine a ladder with steps numbered 0 at the bottom to 10 at the top. And 10 is the best possible life you could imagine for yourself, while 0 is the worst. They found, on average, that people didn't get any health benefits until they were at least a 3. But above that, the higher they went, the more their health benefits increased. And below a 3 came negative effects. So you can't overdose on happiness. No, there was no getting too happy and getting too healthy. That's impossible. But there was the possibility of being so unhappy that it lowered your health. Now, there was good news. That it was a 3 before it started hurting you. So you can be pretty unhappy before it starts to hurt you.
But using the ladder, if you get to that 10th step, that's way up there. Your risks are higher.
Start
probably.
To get scared probably.
You fall down real quick.
Yeah, because, you know, where else do you have to go but down?
Yeah, you know, but I feel like, and this is when Tom rolls his eyes sometimes, negative, you know, feelings, we all focus on the negativity of our situation. We don't count the blessings or look at the blessings that we have. We always focus on the negative part of our life.
That's not true.
And we need to focus on the blessings. I'm just saying in general. I'm not saying you specifically, but it's easy to get focused on that negativity and not as much as like, hey, you know what? I got up this morning. You know what? I can get out of bed and go to my job. I get to go to work. I don't got to go to work. I get to go.
No, I have to go.
Those kinds of things I've never been like, woohoo, work. But I will say, now since having my kid, I'm like, I wake up every day, and even on the days where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, it's amazing. This is like the true joy that I've didn't even know it was possible.
Okay, but you can wait until they're teenagers.
See, that's that negativity there.
I'm just saying, transfer that over to work, and then it might work here.
Okay. I'm with you, Tori. In fact, for ages now, I've been a member of the Have Kids cult because it does give your life a feeling of so much purpose. And, I mean, it may be something that's just hardwired into us to make sure we have kids, but it feels good.
Mm-hmm. You know, I said if you hang out with someone who's a downer, but Tori just made me realize when you hang out with that person that's too happy.
That can bother you too.
That can bring you down.
Mm-hmm. You ever hang out with that person and you're like, I need to be a better person. And then something happens and you're like, yeah, that lasted 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's so negative. What? You guys are being negative
but
talking about happy people.
I was being happy with my kid and the first thing out of your mouth was wait until he's a teenager. Yeah.
That was not lying.
That was a joke.
But
that
it was a joke. Negative joke.
You still let us know so we can laugh at him.
There's still a blessing. See, you are so...
Thank you.
Honestly, you know, I mean, I'm around a happy guy all the time. It just kind of just rubs off on me.
That's Donnie Downer right there.
How are you feeling today, Tom?
I feel great.
Do you?
I feel good.
Okay.
Only thing that drags me down is coming in. Sometimes you work with people that just
see you
bring
always
you down.
Gotta blame him on something. He's got to find some blame.
I don't have to search. It's the same thing
take
every
all
day.
These pills and I feel so bad is because I am.
Oh, call him out.
Wow.
Dang.
What?
You threw him under the bus about his little medicine.
I'm talking about his headache medicine. I give him a headache every day here on the show.
Tom, can I have some too?
I'll share.
Hey, trick or treat. I need some aspirin.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Halloween's almost here, and that's when we have fun with our crank calls here on the Hawk and Tom Show with the Thelma Hollister Halloween Crazy Candy Crank Call.
Mm-hmm.
We lock ourselves in the office. We try to come up with the most unusual candies that no one would ever have or imagine.
Yeah, we get pretty creative with them, too.
And so we thought we would call a convenience store this morning and see if they have these candies as Thelma.
Oh, here we go. Got a good list here this year. Crazy candies out there for the kids. It's inappropriate.
Seven-Eleven, how can I help you?
Yes, hello there. My name is Thelma Hollister, H-O-L-I-S-T-E-R. I am the grandmother of 13 lovely grandchildren, and I'm getting ready for the Halloween season. Happy Halloween.
And how can I help you?
Yeah, well, I am calling. Me and Margaret Ledbetter, we got on the internet to find some unique candies for the trick-or-treaters this year. To be, you know, creative. And I was appalled at some of the ones we came across. I was going to buy my Halloween candy from y'all. But if you have some of these candies out there, I'm not going to be able to shop your establishment.
We have plenty of candy. Feel free to come by and purchase some.
Well, I was thinking maybe I could run through a list. But if you have some of these, I would hate to get all my friends together and pick it down there and rub Ben Gay all over us and shake our pill bottles saying, don't shop here. The Halloween candy is nasty. Don't shop here. The Halloween candy's nasty.
Ma'am, what candy are you talking about?
Well, okay.
I'm very confused.
Okay, I'll make it real quick here. I just have a little list here. If you have these candies, I won't be able to shop there, but just tell me if you have them or not. Do you have the leg hair licorice?
No.
Okay. Do you have bologna-flavored Burp Blows?
No, we never heard of that. No.
Yeah, that sounds disgusting, don't it? You would agree?
We don't carry that.
Yeah, okay. Do you have the York Peppermint Cow Patties? Ooh.
You have York Peppermint Patties.
Yeah, right. This is the cow patty version, which sounds disgusting to me. Okay.
I think you might be confusing the candies. We have York Peppermint Patties.
What?
Never mind. What are the other candies?
Okay, do you have the Crybaby Boomers?
No, I've never heard of these candies.
Yeah, I know. And that's making fun of my generation, you know. I'm a boomer. I might be older than a boomer. What would that be?
I guess dead.
Anyway, do you have Dookie Snoodles? Yeah.
Did you just say, do we have Dookie Snoodles?
Dookie Snoodles was what's on the list out there. They said they had a candy
called. I don't know what list you're looking at, but we did not carry that down.
I know. I told you these were strange. How about colon blockers lolly polyps?
That sounds like medication. Yeah. Are you sure this isn't like medication you're trying to get?
No. This was the Halloween candy trick-or-treaters list. Do you have Mr. Good Barfs?
We have Mr. Good Bars.
No, this is Good Barfs. See, that's disgusting. I like the Mr. Good Bars. They got peanuts in them. Do you have Mars Mayonnaise Bars?
Mars. We have Mars Bars. We don't have Mars Mayonnaise
right,
Bars.
Yeah, this is the mayonnaise flavor, which sounds like that's not a creamy nougat center right there. That's a disgusting center. Do you have Super Sour Septic Suckers?
I'm afraid we don't have those.
Yeah.
What are these candies?
I told you. See, that's why I couldn't shop at your establishment if you had these Halloween candies. How about Meatball Bubblegum?
We do not have Meatball Bubblegum.
How about Little Crackheads?
No, we don't have Little Crackheads.
Yeah, that's inappropriate for the children of the world right there.
I mean, we have a lot of crackheads that come into the store, but they're not related to candy.
I understand. Yeah. Do you have toe jam taffy?
We have foot ointment.
What? No. I don't need that. Well, I mean, I have every once in a while I have a bunion, which leads me to this one. Do you have gummy bunions?
I got a long work there. How many candies are you going to
have? I just have a few more. Gummy bunions, do you have those?
No, I've never heard of this candy.
Okay. How about Watch You May Kill It Roadkill Possum Pops?
You surely, these are fake candies. This list seems made up. It seems like a joke or something.
I certainly hope so, because these are disgusting. Do you have Boston Get Baked Beans?
No, we do not have Boston Get Baked Beans.
How about Sour Patch Pukes?
We have Sour Patch Kids.
Pukes.
Sour Patch Puke?
Yeah, like bleh, like Buick. Yeah.
None of these candies exist, but, ma'am, I really don't mean to rush you right now, but I have some other customers.
I only got a couple more here. Do you have middle finger bars? I've heard of the Butterfinger bars, but that's inappropriate for the children of America. I don't even want to see the packaging for that kind of candy ball. You don't have those, do you?
We do not have middle finger.
Okay, do you have Junior Zits?
We have acne cream.
No, these are like, I've heard of Junior Mints, but Junior Zits? That's just weird. How about the Black Lung Bubble Gum Cigarettes? What are they doing? That's inappropriate. Kids, you can't smoke when you're a little kid. All right, I have one last one here.
Okay, sure.
All right, do you have Payday Poop Nuggets? Now, that's not a payday I want.
No, you don't have that. Look, I have to go to work. I'm sorry.
Listen, thank you. You've been very helpful, and I just want to say we'll be shopping at your establishment, and happy Halloween. You've been very patient. Yeah, well, thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
That's your Halloween crazy candy crank call this year on the Hawk and Tom Show.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This is going to be a stupid, but I think fun conversation.
Can I have a hall pass, please?
You don't like them, do you?
I don't like stupid.
Okay.
I know you just said it's going to be stupid.
Oh, it is. It's going to be. You know that women are all fascinated with mythological creatures, like mythical creatures.
Really? That's a broad statement.
Which ones?
Well, like they speak like Halloween vampires, the werewolves, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You got the Twilight series. A lot of girls like that.
I still haven't watched it.
What?
But I'm team the werewolf guy. He's cute.
Apparently
Taylor Lautner.
So.
Yeah. Well, I just ruined it. Sorry. It's what I do. Go ahead.
Why did you ruin?
Because you said, is this whole thing about Twilight?
No, no, no. It's mythological or mythic creatures out there.
It's stupid, isn't it? Can't have a hall pass, too.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to the mythological creatures or the mythical creatures out there, which ones would you want to date? They asked the women.
Okay.
And I guess some guys out here, according to some of the answers that I have. So I'm going to go to, some of the, and it's really weird. There's not a big percentage that wants to date these mythical creatures, but.
That's because there's not a big percentage of stupid people.
Oh, well, now I don't want to play along anymore.
Oh, go ahead. You're good, Tori.
Because he just called me stupid.
Yeah. I mean, we can play along. We can have some fun with something that's not real.
I'm about to play.
Okay, let's do it. Like 4% said they would like to go on a date with a fairy.
A fairy?
Yeah, like a little, I guess, tooth fairy or something like that.
I don't know. Is he smaller than me? Because that's not going to work.
They're little bitty, yeah.
See, I don't like that. It's going to give me a complex.
Yeah, it's the short guy syndrome. It's like a little short fairy.
You can put him in your purse like they do dogs.
Yeah.
Carry him around.
All right. How about an ogre like Shrek?
No.
1% said that.
Huh.
Yeah, well, Fiona. You know
what? All right. What mythical creature would you or could you date? They also mentioned the leprechaun. 7% of the people said the leprechaun.
Another. They're kind of annoying, honestly.
They're magically delicious.
No, that's the stuff they make.
Oh.
You don't eat the leprechauns.
They're short, too.
Oh, wait, but do they come with a pot of gold?
They do, but they don't give it up very easily.
Yeah, they're not free. They're not letting you shop on Amazon Prime with their gold.
Selfish.
Yeah, they are. Then they said a gargoyle. That's those statues that are like on the tall buildings, like in the, you know,
this
Batman
is taking
movies.
Stupid and making it stupider. Who would date a gargoyle?
The ones in The Hunchback of Notre Dame were kind of funny.
Okay. Oh, that was the Disney movie?
Yeah.
So they turned to stone in the day. So you got some free time during the day to do whatever you want to.
Which is great. I can go shop while he's stoned.
All right. 4% stoned. Of the ladies.
I was hoping y'all didn't catch that. As soon as I said it, I was
you want to share some of that? All right. We have 5% said they would be willing to go on a date with Bigfoot. Oh. Yeah, I'm like, you know, he's kind of hairy. You got to be into hairy guys.
Well, I got to thinking about the werewolf, too. Would she require him to manscape?
Well, or some grooming needs to be done there with the werewolf.
Could you see a Bigfoot if groomed?
Just has no hair from, like, the waist up.
Okay, mermaid or a merman? 5% said a mermaid they would date. 2% said a merman.
Where would you go?
You got to go to the beach. I mean, and it ain't going to be a long walk on the beach for that. And I have to go swimming in that.
Bring your rod.
Oh, he can swim along as you walk.
That's a good point. Okay. 1% said the centaur. That's half horse, half man. Right? Is that what that is? The mythological creature?
I think so.
Yeah. And let's see, any that I've missed, I've got a long list here. Of course, vampires and werewolves, top of the list for the mythological creatures that the women would go out on a date. And, of course, you're going out with a werewolf, too. It's like it's late at night, that full moon comes out, and you're like, wow, okay, he's an animal.
Yeah, but imagine the vampire. It's like you're just going to sleep all day again.
Yeah. You've been out all night long.
Yeah, lazy. And then the number one mythological creature was women said that they would want to go out on a date with is men who are good listeners. You're welcome.
They don't exist.
Those are fake.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, for a while, everyone was predicting that AI would be taking over the world by next year. Now they're starting to pull back a little on the timeline, and they're still saying that AI is going to take over a lot of jobs, but not as quickly as they thought, because they've learned that AIs actually make a lot of mistakes. They hallucinate. They come up with things that simply aren't true. You can ask them questions and they'll confidently tell you something that isn't true at all. And this is partly because AI is like ChatGPT are programmed to try to be helpful. So sometimes, much like people, they will say stuff that isn't true just to try to feel like they've helped. Huh. All right.
Okay.
And they call those hallucinations is the term for it. But there are several different chat bots out there to use. Google has one called Gemini. Mm-hmm. Of course, ChatGPT exists. And there's the one on X or Twitter, which you may or may not know about, called Grok. And if you're on Twitter, you can at Grok and ask it to tell you something, and it will give you an answer. Maybe right, maybe not, but it will confidently give you an answer.
That's a weird name to name it.
Well, it's actually a word.
Well, I mean, it is Elon, though. I mean, look at the name of his kids.
Oh, he looks like a Grok.
Are you familiar with the word Grok?
I know it was a caveman, a common name for caveman.
That is not true.
me, Grok.
So Grok means to understand. So I grokked that out, or I grok what's going on here. It means understand. So he chose the word that means understand for his AI.
Stupid.
Now, I love what someone calls Elon stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's a pretty high bar to shake on there. But what's interesting is what this theory is that someone has about Grok. And they believe that Grok is actually not just an AI, but an AI that was based on Elon Musk. The theory is this billionaire genius has taken an AI and put his brain or his personality into it. And what we're actually seeing instead of ChatGPT or Gemini, we're seeing Elon Musk mind. Think about how weird that sounds, but then also remember that Elon is the guy who's putting those chips in people's brains that are paralyzed so they can control computers.
Yeah.
So the argument is he has put a chip in his brain and uploaded his brain into Grok.
Okay, Elon's done that?
That's what the argument is they're saying, hey, Grok is not just an AI, it's actually Elon.
So, okay, so that's something that we don't know for sure. Unless we operate on Elon.
So, yeah, you're figuring it out.
Well, I'm trying to.
Okay,
I'm
like, saying that is this theory that someone has that Elon has uploaded his brain as the AI.
Let's do this with our brains. Put it in AI. Ooh, if we can get robots. How much fun would that be?
I mean.
Okay, he's making robots.
Yeah, so like one of them could be one of us. Like you could have your own Tom Steele. Could you imagine someone's like, so Tom and I are just going shopping today?
You know what? He would also answer questions, just make stuff up too.
So what would be interesting is think about all the robots Tesla is making right now. Mm-hmm. What if they all have Elon's mind in them?
Do I get to pick whose brain? Because I don't know that I want his brain.
What if he's creating, well, here's the thing. What if he's creating an army of himself?
He seems boring.
Like, you know, going with that concept, Tori, you think about like you're at home and let's say it was my brain and you ask, okay, Hawk, do you know blah, 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 blah? And it's like, Hawk, I'm talking to you. Do you know blah, 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 blah? It's like, I heard you. I just don't know the answer.
Google it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's different aspects to Elon. He's a technology king. He's also a meme lord. He's post memes all the time on X. He wants to be a Martian colonizer. He also likes Bitcoin. He is a father of 11 children. You may not have known that.
He's fertile.
And they're saying that each version of Grok is just a slice of the Elon Musk pie.
Yeah, I need a different brain. I could not have anything in common with that. I mean, what would we even talk about?
Well, and it's like going to a college class. It's one of those professors that talk above your head every class session. And it's like you're trying to teach you something like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
And then it asks you a question. I'm like, I was hoping you didn't even know I was here today. Like, it just wouldn't work.
But he's funny, too. Do you see him on Saturday Night Live?
I don't honestly know anything about him is his personality. It's probably not nice, but... I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you don't, you don't. I mean, he's a pretty influential figure in the world right now.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people care about him.
Hey,
that's good.
You know what? Care. They could do it for you, Tori. Be a Taylor Swift brain.
See? There we go. We have so much fun.
I'm trying to think of that song you did back in 2016, and I can't.
Yeah, and she'd be like, do you want to make friendship bracelets? Uh-huh. I do.
They'll have it to where we can upload different versions of our friends, because that's what a lot of people do with these chatbots is they tailor them, no pun intended, to be the kind of person they want to hang out with. And it's usually someone who's positive and is encouraging you on your ideas.
Which sometimes, that is not what I need.
Sometimes that's bad because it encourages you on bad ideas, but it makes you feel better about yourself because this person is, or this thing, this AI is making you feel like you got support.
It's sad, though. It's sad that that's their friend. Get out and meet real people.
Well, and you know what? They got the chips in the dogs, and if I'm getting information from that, like it's my dog, it's like, you know, it'd be kind of weird.
Now, that's what I want. I want to be able to talk to a dog.
There you go.
That is interesting.
Instead of Elon Musk, you can talk to your puppy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about rough, not gruff. What is his name?
Grok.
Grok.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, I'm just telling you, there's a theory that Elon could be taking over the world through AI, and we don't even know it.
Well, I thought he was against AI all this time.
Elon?
He said it was going to ruin everything, which I believe that. I think AI is a big deception. It's going to not be good for us. Didn't he say that?
He did say it's dangerous. He didn't say, I mean, he said,
it's dangerous. Let me just put this chip in. You guys follow me. Follow me.
It's not dangerous if I do it.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you've heard your life can flash before your eyes during a near-death experience. Maybe you've had a near-death experience before, but does that really happen, or is it just something people say? Well, they have some new evidence, and it's like people have been on like brain scans when they pass away. And so this is one of the experiences. This is an 87-year-old guy. He had a heart attack while his brain was being scanned. And it was one of the first ever detailed brain activities that happened at the moment of death. So there's not a lot of these going around. But they analyzed his brain activity from the 30 seconds before and after he passed away. And right around the time his heart stopped, his brain waves changed in a major way. They suddenly look like they do when we're dreaming, flashing back, or even processing lots of information. So his brain was very active at the moment of death, and they don't really know why, because you can't ask the guy.
Well, you don't think it's because he was having that heart attack?
No, yeah. It was after he died. The brain activity was still going on there. And they think it could be that, you know, flash before your eyes type thing that goes on at the time of death.
Well, you hear people who do have near-death experiences and they survive it, and some of the things they talk about, it's like they see certain things or feel certain things. So, I mean, maybe.
And you think, were they really dead or were they just, you know, because they say that, but there was nobody scanning their brain like they were officially dead.
I've seen stories where someone who passed away like on an operating table, and they would describe the view from above, and they would talk about things on top of a filing cabinet that no one could have seen unless they were in that view from above.
Y'all need to clean your filing cabinet. The top's got a lot of dust on it.
That's not what they saw on there. It was like some kind of item that was there.
It was a hidden Christmas present you forgot about last year.
I think that was it.
The lead researcher says it's possible the brain was rapidly replaying old memories from his life, but they still need to do more research. Or more research is needed with more of these situations where they are scanning the brain. Or it could have been whatever takes place right after you die, you know, the afterlife thing that's going on. You're so, like seeing all kinds of crazy stuff.
So during that 30 seconds, he could have been at the gate with Peter?
He could be. I mean, but
I think they're more likely saying that that's when it's replaying your life in front of your eyes, is that 30 seconds whenever it's super active.
Mm-hmm.
It can be like people say they see their life going back through their life as they've lived it.
Yeah, little
and
clips.
And that's what that may be doing.
I hope it's the clips of the parts I don't remember.
Or the stuff you don't want to remember.
I want
the good memories there.
It'd be like the ending of The Hangover where you're flipping through the camera roll and you're like, oh, that's what happened.
I wondered why I woke up like that.
You know, and here's a creepy little fun fact for you. You know, one of the last inventions, Thomas Edison, who made the light bulb and a ton of other things, he ever worked on was the phone. And he actually was creating the phone, you know why? To contact the dead. That was his idea. It's like, I need to speak with somebody in the afterlife to see what's going on there.
Dummy, that's not how that works.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he even called his buddy Watson.
Well, and think, Watson. Did that's, he assume?
Is that Sherlock Holmes?
Well, whatever the guy, he was answering the phone. He was
what?
Like,
I
thought it was Watson.
I don't know, but did he just assume they had a phone in the afterlife? He's like, they already have one.
Yeah, right.
I just need to connect it to the one here.
I don't know, but that's why he actually created the phone.
Doesn't make sense, really.
No, it really doesn't.
Because, I mean, he actually wired it to another living person and called them.
But you can't really make fun of the guy. I mean, he's the reason we have light bulbs and light at night, because he had some good ideas. I think some of those guys that have the great ideas also have some really, out there ideas as well. And they come up with these great ideas that actually change the world.
Cato, did you look up Thomas Edison?
Yeah, but it says he didn't make a single specific call.
Okay, that's something you always see, like, in the stories and the TV and all.
It started with him, though. I mean, he started this idea kind of like with the light bulb. It took him, like, 147 times to get the light bulb to work. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah, now that you mention it, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Alexander Graham Bell actually made the phone. But Edison started with the idea to try to create the.
Kids, pay attention in school. Yeah.
Now, Thomas Edison. did famously suggest the greeting of hello in an 1877 letter.
What did they say before that?
Ahoy!
No. For real?
It says it's a more practical alternative to Alexander Graham Bell's suggestion of ahoy.
Yeah, yeah. They said, hey, what's up?
Voila.
What you doing?
Ahoy. Can we go back to that?
Ahoy, matey.
Yeah.
You can if you want. Just start answering your phone that way.
Did they really teach all this in school?
No, but I'm saying we should have maybe we didn't pay attention, I guess.
I remember it.
Answer the phone. Don't answer the phones. Text me.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I think in my generation, it was always assumed that one day your parents would eventually pass on and they would leave you whatever they had left over.
Yeah.
You weren't necessarily counting on a big windfall, but you thought there was probably the house would be passed on to you and your brothers and sisters. But that is changing for a lot of people. And I just read where Simon Cowell has come out, and he has a son named Eric, and he says he will not be leaving his $600 million fortune to his son. He is going to be giving it to charity instead.
I hate people like this. That is so wrong.
It is so dreadful. Dreadful.
I wouldn't speak to him if he was my dad.
I have mixed feelings. I can see the logic. And we talked with one of Warren Buffett's sons. Warren Buffett, one of the most rich men in the world and an investor, who said that he wanted to give his children the chance to make their own way in life and to feel good about it.
I think it depends on the child. If I end up raising an incompetent little jerk, then no. Go work for it.
Wow.
But if he ends up being a decent person, why not? Why not give them a leg up? Everything is so expensive now. It's not going to hurt them to try and help a little bit.
They won't be able to find a job with AI.
I know. Right? Work at the convenience store. Yeah, my dad had $600 million, didn't leave me a dime.
Okay, well, before you feel too bad for Eric, I got to give him credit. So Simon Cowell has already worked with Eric to produce a children's book and is helping him with some of his career choices, like he wants to be in a band and stuff. So it's not like this kid's probably going to be broken on the streets whenever Simon passes away. But still, you're talking about $600 million yeah. that's just going to be handed off to someone else that you hope uses it responsibly and doesn't waste it or steal it.
Yeah, yeah. Probably a charity where the CEO is making, probably make $20 million or $100 million off bonuses for bringing right. in mm-hmm. the money.
How about those people that leave all their money to the pet? It's like, you know, and then they fight over the pet.
Yeah.
Make sure. And that pet's only going to live another 5 years or so at best.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll take Rover. Well, come on.
Getting to the kids and all. If you're the kid, I'm wondering how you look at this too. I mean, does his son feel like this is the way to go? Or does his son feel like I'm being screwed over here? It is a complicated issue because if you just throw $600 million at your kid, there's too high of a chance that they're just going to become, you know, they have nothing left to strive for. They become a drug addict or something like that.
I'm sure he's having some in-depth conversations as he becomes a teenager and into his young adult years. Like, hey, you know, this is what's going to be happening. This, I made this money, but I'm going to give it to charity.
Sometimes I wonder if they say this just to make sure their child doesn't go, oh, thank goodness. But in reality, they are going to leave the kid money. You know, because if you know that going forward,
I see
a
what you're saying.
On Simon Cowell.
But I mean, I would assume if he's making this public like this, he plans on giving at least most of it to charity.
Unless he's scared his son might take him out early, knowing he's going to get the money. So
yeah,
he's like,
but
I'm not leaving it to you. But you know, you could do a trust where they only get so much per year.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But that would still give them no reason to actually do anything.
Well, who wants to do anything? If I had an option of not doing anything, do you think I'd do anything?
You could do a trust for when he turns 65. All right. You know what? You made it that far. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the $600 million.
I feel like you want to at least leave them a safety net in case they do try all this stuff and it fails. They've got something to fall into. But I also think that maybe it would be smart to organize something where they do have to work to get their money. Some way, shape, maybe they can even work for a nonprofit or help out, you know, people that need help, but then they get some of that money you made.
I was going to say, start a foundation, have your kid run the foundation, make it earning a salary, but the foundation is to give money out.
Yeah, there's no simple answer because you could probably game every one of those things.
It is simple.
You could just give me the money.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
But that could ruin your kid's life. It could be the worst thing you could do for him.
Take that chance.
Well, and I want to say for parents out there, make a will so it don't go to court.
A wheel.
A wheel.
A wagon wheel.
Yeah, a wagon wheel. Make one.
Jesus, take the wheel.
I am country. But listen. A lot of parents don't even think about that for their kids.
Let me tell you, my dad...
At least Simon's thinking about it.
What happened in your case, Kato?
My dad did not have a will. A
whale.
And it took my dad's friend to talk him into it. He's like, you know, you got to do a will. You don't want your kids going through probate because that's a long process. You won't be able to do anything with their finances or their house or nothing for a year. And it's get a will made. And my dad did it. Thank God he did it. In time.
Well, and that's, I was just reading that they can, like the county or whatever, will reassess the property once you pass. And then you might not even, your kids might not even be able to afford the home that they grew up in because the taxes will be so high.
So parents, grandparents, make sure you get a will and make sure that they are aligned and rotated.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the neat things about this job, if you're into music, is we get to meet a lot of the musicians that make the music. And some of them we actually become friends with. And, you know, for example, when we did the Jonas Brothers thing, we actually hit it off with them. They gave us their phone numbers. And until Hawk had Thelma do a prank call, we would actually call each other sometimes. Yeah. Then they changed their number.
It's fun.
But we do stay in touch with some of our friends, and I don't want to name this person because they did not give me permission to share this story on the radio,
okay.
At least not by identifying them. I will ask them later if they're okay with me saying who it is,
I'm not going to right now. There you go.
But it's a guy who's a musician. He plays guitar, and he gets asked to do a lot of things. And you might even be able to guess who it is because we're pretty good friends with this guy.
I know.
But as he told me the story, I'm going to tell it from his point of view because it's a better story that way. But he said, as a guitarist, I play a lot of gigs. And recently, I was asked for something a little more unusual. I've done a lot of weddings before, but I was asked by a funeral director to play a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, so the service was going to be at a small cemetery out in the back country. I was not familiar with that area, and on the way there, I got lost. I finally arrived a half hour late. I saw the funeral guy had evidently gone. The hearse wasn't there, but the gravediggers and the crew were still there, and they were eating lunch. I felt bad, and I apologized to the men for being late. Then I went to the side of the grave, and I looked down, and the vault lid was already in place. I didn't know what else to do, so I started to play. The workers all put down their lunches and began to gather around, and I played my heart out. I played my heart and soul for this man who had no family and friends. I played like I've never played before for this homeless man. And as I played Amazing Grace, some of the workers began to weep. They wept, I wept, we all wept together, and when I finished, I packed my guitar and started for my car, and though my head hung low, my heart was full. And as I opened the door to my car, I heard one of the workers say, I never seen nothing like that before, and I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years.
Oh my God.
Apparently, I was still lost.
Yeah.
Now, Hawk, you have a septic system.
I do,
so
yeah.
There's a picture.
Yeah, it looks like a casket.
I was tearing up.
Oh, my God.
Well, hopefully, I didn't find out. I don't think he made it to the actual service at that point. But,
well, yeah. If you don't see any of the grave markers there, you might think I might be in the wrong place.
Well, you know, it was supposed to be, a small little thing, and
yeah.
There wasn't supposed to be many people there, and he was late.
Yeah, okay.
But
thank you for
I'm going to try to get permission from him to see if he doesn't mind my telling who he is.
Now that makes me wonder if they were crying because of the singing or because they're standing over a
smell.
Septic tank.
Well, it was brand new, I guess, so it probably didn't have a bad smell or anything.
Well, thank you for that heartwarming story.
Yeah.
You made my mascara run for nothing.
Well, I will ask Edwin if it's okay.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.